extended break. We were holding at Melechet Melaben, which the definition of Melaben, of Libur, is cleaning a garment, cleansing of a garment. And it's one of the Melachot which needs extra caution, because even naturally, whenever they get stained, or you get dirty, you straight away, naturally, by instinct, you clean yourself. And sometimes, not realizing it, you can transgress Isurim, like the worst Isurim of Shabbat. Because one of the Melachot is, the Melacha of Melaben, means that if you clean a garment with an intermediate of a liquid, according to everybody, there's a chiyuv chatat, means there's a restriction from the Torah to clean a garment with an intermediate of water. And sometimes you get stained, the person naturally goes, okay, licks his finger and starts cleaning himself. He doesn't realize in many circumstances he may be transgressing any Isur d'oraita. That's why a person has to be very, as Mishnah Berurah always advises, the more you learn a subject, the more Kadosh Baruch Hu protects you from transgressing the Isurim. So therefore, to clarify the Melechet Melaben, today we'll try and clarify the Melechet Melaben, which is cleansing of garments on Shabbat.
Can I ask a question? Over Shabbos, the baby.
Is it?
It's about Melaben, yes.
No, but perhaps I will cover it in this. If I won't cover it, then
okay.
Remind. I just want to. I mean, I haven't said anything yet. It says as follows. Yeah, we have to understand that in the procedure. It's irrelevant to this week's Sedra, really, where we are commanded to construct the Mishkan. And part of what involved in the construction of the Mishkan was, after he used to cut the wool of the sheep, they had to bleach it. They had forms of bleaching it, cleaning it, bleaching it. And that's where Melechet Melaben comes along. As we said, whatever involved in the construction of the Mishkan, that's what the Torah restricts us from doing on Shabbat. Because clearly the Torah has told us we're not allowed to build and construct the Mishkan on Shabbat. So therefore, Melechet Melaben, the definition would be to clean a garment. Now, cleaning a garment doesn't necessarily have to be from a stain which you clearly have. Could be a garment which you've worn and it's become darkened because you've worn it for time, or you want extra cleaning to the garment. Any form of cleansing of the garment, and according to some, even if the garment is perfectly clean and you re-clean it again, then you're also chayav. You're also, it's forbidden from the Torah to clean it on Shabbat, even though it looks clean to us. But to do the action of cleansing is also asur. Now, this is where people may not be aware of this, that if you look carefully at the cycle, I always, if you don't understand this and take it to practice and know exactly what involves Melechet Melaben, cleansing, if you look at the cycle of your washing machine, then if you concentrate a bit and you see all all the actions the machine does for us, that's basically what we mustn't do on Shabbat and will be regarded as Melaben. First thing is the garment, to soak a garment on Shabbat. We follow a majority of opinions which hold that soaking a garment on Shabbat is forbidden from the Torah to do so. It's inclusive in Melechet Melaben, to soak a garment on Shabbat. And we hold, even if it's a clean garment, you're not allowed to wet it on Shabbat. So that means pouring water. Why would someone want to pour water on a garment? Perhaps he wants to clean something else with it, as we will specify as we go along. But to soak any garment on Shabbat, deliberately, for the sake of soaking, yeah, it's asur, and it'd be inclusive in Melechet Melaben. There is a debate in the poskim as whether this includes also other liquids, it's only water. However, we are stringent, we don't deliberately wet any garments on Shabbat. Now, There are certain forms that will be more lenient as far when we don't deliberately want to wet it for the sake of wetting the garment, be it drying up, mopping up something or drying up something else, then the halakha may vary and may change, as we'll explain as we go. But to deliberately wet it for the sake of wetting, it's asur, because that's part of the cycle of washing. You soak the garment in water, you rub it, and then you squeeze the water out of it. So therefore, rubbing a garment side by side is also an action of melaben. Now we are discussing with water. We'll soon discuss what happens if you do it without water. You want to take dust off, you want to take a stain off without any water. But the action of rubbing when the garment is wet is also an action of cleansing. That's the next step in the cycle of washing. And the third and last one is when you squeeze the garment from its water. So squeezing a garment on Shabbat, squeezing a material on Shabbat which absorbed water, is also inclusive. It's called schita. Yeah? And we discussed it when we spoke about melechet dash. When we spoke about squeezing fruit, we included also squeezing a garment from liquid. It's also under the definition of melaben, if we will squeeze a garment, because we all know a garment which is wet, you cannot be worn. So part of the procedure of washing a garment is always to squeeze it at the end and to its maximum before we wear it. So therefore, squeezing a garment is inclusive in melechet melaben. And that makes an issue of mopping up things, using cloth to clean up. So all these three stages are forbidden from the Torah to do if you do it for the sake of cleaning the garment. Now, as we said, we go back to the first step. That means pouring and wetting a garment. We don't allow to wet even slightly. Just to pour a little bit of water into a garment deliberately, pour it, we're not allowed to do that on Shabbat. However, we know that halacha is a person can take a cold shower, can dry his dishes in certain with certain towels. So how can we do that? How can we, if we've got a bit of water on the table and we want to dry it up with a towel, we know that you're allowed to do so, providing there isn't that much water. If there's a lot of water where the towel will become so wet that you'll come to squeeze it, then not only you're not allowed to do it, the towel, if it becomes so wet, according to many opinions, it'll be mukzeh. Yeah, because you might come to squeeze it. But we'll discuss that. However, we know you're allowed to dry yourself. You're allowed to have a bath, a cold shower on Shabbat, and you want to dry yourself with a towel. There's no restriction. The Gemara says clearly you're allowed to dry yourself with a towel, especially our towels. The reason for that is that we're not pouring water into the garment. We're doing it bederech lichluch, in the form of not cleaning the garment. We're drying ourselves. So since it's done in such a form, and we're not talking about a lot of water, so therefore we're allowed to do that on Shabbat. So if you spilled water on the table and there isn't so much water, or you want to dry your hands on Shabbat, now, interestingly, when it comes to drying your body on Shabbat, then the poskim don't demand that you should start shaking yourself before you do that. But when it comes to washing your hands after netilat yadayim or something, so the Shulchan Aruch advises to shake your hands before you dry them, because it's not much effort, and since you're going to get the water into the towel with your hands, so if it's preferably, if you can get rid of as much water as you can before you dry your hands, that's better. But when you come to dry a table up from water, or you come to dry dishes out, or you come to this, then you don't have to be particular to shake it properly before, so long as there isn't so much water. Yeah? So it's called derech lichluch. Yeah. Now,
excuse me?
Yeah.
Can I ask you?
Yeah, sure.
So, action of rubbing we're not allowed to do?
What? Sorry?
You said the cloth to rub it.
If it's wet?
If it's not wet.
If it's not wet, you haven't got there yet. I don't want to touch that because that's a very relevant question what you're asking. But I want to finish off discussing the water issues, and after that we'll discuss the cleansing of the garment without an intermediate of water, i.e. dust or dirt or whatever. We'll soon discuss that, yeah? So now we're in the process of this, of wetting a garment deliberately, yeah? A person can walk in the rain, there's no problem, even though his garments get wet, and sometimes can get very wet. But since it's unavoidable, let's call it. The person has to walk. So therefore, Chachamim didn't make a decree that, you know what, you might get so wet, you start squeezing your garment. They were not concerned about that. And they allow the person to walk. Since he's not pouring water himself, the water is coming alone. He's not doing the action of pouring water. And he has to be careful that if his garments are too wet, once he's taking them off, he shouldn't use them once they're wet, especially garments which you're particular to have them dry. And I always get the question which people keep on asking about swimming on Shabbat. Yeah, some people find it difficult to have Oneg Shabbat without swimming. Yeah, lo aleinu. So they ask whether you're allowed to swim or not. And really, really, in a swimming pool, it's got walls. And the water is lower than the walls. It's not like a seaside, you're not allowed to swim. A person's not allowed to go into a seaside to swim on Shabbat for a few reasons. First of all, he's carrying the water which is on him in a karmelit, which is semi-rashut arabim. It's a public domain. But in a swimming pool, in a hotel or in something like that, I'm saying this halacha because I get this question asked again and again, and people also get asked that question, and you have to know how to answer them. So simply, the biggest issue I have with that is the swimming trunks which a person wears, he's wetting them. So that's fine. It's not really 100%, but let's call it derech lichluch. Not really. But what does a person do after he takes off his swimming trunks? First thing, he squeezes the swimming trunks. So such a garment, akunta halacha, you're not allowed to wet on Shabbat. Because of the gezerah, you might come to squeeze it afterward. So it's asur for someone to wear the swimming trunks. And that, we get away from the question of are you allowed to swim or not. Because obviously, if you've got a problem of wearing swimming trunks, then the inyan of swimming is out of the question, yeah? So that's also an issue, because here we're deliberately going into the water. It's not that we're walking in the rain and it's unavoidable, yeah? And Chachamim didn't make a gzera. But here you're wetting your garment. First of all, there's an issue in wetting your garment when you're not going for a dvar mitzvah or for something which you have to. And secondly, you might come to squeeze it. And you always squeeze these garments once you finish using them. So again, let's go back to the issue of walking in the rain. Walking in the rain isn't a problem, although a person may wet his raincoat or may wet his suit which he's wearing, because it's unavoidable. So as soon as he gets, he has to be careful not to squeeze the garments which he's worn. Now, the halakha says if there's a wet garment which can be squeezed, then the garment turns into mukta on Shabbat. You're not allowed to move it about in the house. Why? Because, and this applies, not like once upon a time they used to say, oh, a garment which you're not particular on, that's fine. Anyway, you don't care if it's wet. Most even our towels, when they get really, really wet, what we tend to do is always, we only put it in the wash without squeezing it before. So therefore, such towels will be mukta on Shabbat if they got wet to such an extent that they can be squeezed. Now, our towels can absorb quite a lot. So to get to that level that can be squeezed, it takes a lot of water. But when it comes to our garments, it can be socks, can be anything. If they get wet to such an extent, after a person takes them off, whilst they're on. After he takes them off, he has to make sure he doesn't move them about, because you might come to squeeze those garments on Shabbat.
Sorry, for the cleaner to be able to do that is allowed?
Yeah. Yeah, correct. Good point. And for a cleaner to do that, since he's doing it derech lichluch, so what our worry is that she might squeeze it. It's an issur derabanan. It's her problem. It's her problem. You didn't tell her to do so. So she decides to do it on her own accord. That she's not doing it for you, and you're not telling her to do it either. So therefore, since it's an issur derabanan only, because we might come to squeeze it, and even if she does, it's her problem, so therefore you're allowed to let the cleaner clean even something which involves a lot of water, even though she might squeeze the towel after she finishes using it. Yeah?
Can I ask that?
Yeah.
Okay, the first question was about what if your kid has diarrhea and the clothes are completely covered in it? You just have to leave it over Shabbos.
Just close it in a bag and put it away.
Okay.
There's nothing you can do, really.
And then the second question was, if you're potty training,
yeah,
it's not just spilling some water on the floor, you have to clean it up. How
That you're talking about a floor which is not a garden, not material, no carpet.
I'm saying, can you use a towel to clean it up? Because you're saying if you spill water.
Yeah, this is what I advise people always. Whenever water spills, take it, whatever it is. Okay. Well, you can always wash it, it's not a problem, it's a technical issue. You can, anything which spills, any liquid which you want to, there's preferably, take a thick towel. Why start using thin tea towels which become so wet that you start wanting to squeeze it and all that? Take a thick towel. All it means is an extra washing of Matzei Shabbat. Take a thick towel where it absorbs quite a lot, and even if it absorbs it, you can't squeeze it out, and dry up with that. That's the best way of cleaning up wet. Our towels today are so well done, the material is so good, that it's got a koch sfiga, what they call it. It can absorb a lot of water. So at least you don't get into any issues of problems you might come to squeeze it afterwards. Now, wetting the garment is an issue because you're cleaning up dirty water, you're cleaning up water which is spilled. It's derech lichluch, they're absorbing. So therefore it's not an issue. It's not pouring water into a garment.
Question. One Shabbat, one of my children spilt, like opened a tap in the bathroom and let it go. Continue. And the whole room was covered, like an inch, let's say.
Okay, this is a big problem.
So at the time, we had water coming through a light, so we just put all the towels we could on the floor to just try and... But now I'm thinking, maybe that was a real big mistake.
No, I'll tell you. If it's Bgadim, which... Since the towel, really, it's not a suit or something where as soon as it gets wet, you're particular to make sure it's not wet, yeah? There is a worry that you might come to squeeze afterwards. So yeah, in such a case... where you're worried it's trickling through and it's a lot of water. Now, a lot of water is an issue, as we said, but it's derech lichluch again to wet the garment. Now, it's going to get wet to the extent it can be squeezed. So what you do is throw the towels on top and leave the towels on the floor. Okay. Don't pick up the towels after that. Yeah? That's because towels is generally, kishmo ken hu, a towel is to absorb water. So if you're not that particular to always squeeze them, although we tend to do it, but in such circumstances, take the towels and just throw them on the water and don't move them after that. Because we were very worried that it's sikresha even. I don't think it's possible to move it afterwards without squeezing it. As soon as you hold it, you'll be squeezing it. So just leave the towels on top. And you can put as many towels as you want. Yeah? Don't use garments. Yeah? Because garments is something which bothers a person. And there's more of a chashash, more of a worry, you'll come to squeeze it, yeah? Now, paper, yeah? By paper, it's not possible, it's not shaykh, the concept of cleansing as the garment, because we don't wash papers. And if you wash papers, they tear. So therefore, a Moshe Feinstein holds, a person is allowed to wet paper in order to clean something on Shabbat. Now, I'm not saying it's agreed by everyone, but a person, if needs be, make sure you don't wet it too much, that when you lift it up, you'll have to squeeze it, yeah? Make sure you wet it to the degree that it'll be enough to clean whatever dirt you need to. They'll be allowed to, because there's no kibbutz by paper. It's not shayach kibbutz. Some are stringent, but we follow that opinion that you're allowed to wet paper tissues slightly in order to clean up some dirt which you have. Now we're going to the issue of baby wipes, but really that belongs to the last section of the tzchita. That's more squeezing. Baby wipes are wet as they are. You buy them wet in order to use them. Now we spoke about it before, that with baby wipes, you should be particular that they're not wet to the extent that you can wipe your hand and then you'll feel wetness on your hands. If it's just moisture that after a few seconds this evaporates, is not a problem. That's not called wet. It has to be tofeach al menat latpiach. Make something wet in order to wet something else. So therefore, make sure the baby wipes, usually the issue is in the bottom half of the box, so as soon as you buy it, you need it for Shabbat. There's another issue I want people to be aware of, is that most baby wipes today come up sealed, although it's not relevant to the melacha of cleansing, but they come totally sealed with a tape above them, that when you lift up that tape, It cuts, apart from cutting letter, yeah. There's a pula of kriya as well, of tearing the thing in a nice, nicely shaped thing. You should make sure you open baby wipe packets before Shabbat. Always, yeah? After you've opened them, squeeze the packet out. Just squeeze it and close it again. Because once you've squeezed it, don't worry, it will stay moist until you finish using the baby wipes. Exactly the amount of moisture you need, it'll have. It just won't be wet to the extent it'll be an issue of using on Shabbat. now, today they make the baby wipes from material, even. You can't flush them down the chain. So it's got the din of a beged ratuv, so you have to be careful. Although the cleaning is bederach lichluch, but preferably make sure it's not squeezable, the baby wipes. And that applies to kitchen wipes too. Yeah? And once you've done that, that's the best way to clean dirt on Shabbat. That means the person has stickiness, instead of pouring water and then having to dry it with a towel, and they take these wipes and you clean whatever dirt, that's the best possible way of cleaning on Shabbat.
I've got great kitchen wipes from Kosher Kingdom, they're only £1.
Yeah.
They're the yellow or the orange, it's called Clean, and they're brilliant for Shabbos, for the kitchen, for the table.
And as well, they're selling baby wipes.
If they're not charging more, it's okay. But if they are charging more, then stick to the normal brand.
That's what I said. It's just £1 because I know the situation.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
If you have a pack of baby wipes which have completely dried, they are completely dry, but you need to use them on Shabbat, can you wet them to use them, or is it like a garment and you can't wet it?
It's not really like a garment. You don't wash these things again. Now, are they really...
I can show you. It's completely dry, 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 like a pack of tissues.
The packet's been left open, so it's dried up.
They're made from material, really, which absorbs. So, shriatozo kibuso, we're now saying to soak it with clean water inside it. Unless you'll say that you should avoid wetting them on Shabbat. Mm-hmm. Avoid wetting them on Shabbat. Because today most baby wipes are made from quite thick material, which is an issue. If the proper paper baby wipes, like once upon a time, which they're not anymore like that, yeah? They used to be made from real paper. And there is a certain kind which is made from real paper.
Huggies.
Where they tell you can flash it down the chain and all that. Those you could wet on Shabbat, yeah? Like what we said before about wetting paper. okay. Maybe in your case there will be, but you're not going to do it anyway. To take other liquids, not water.
No.
But you're not going to do that anyway. Anyway, okay. So let's. And another issue is many brands of baby wipes are attached to each other. Yeah. Don't use them on Shabbat. Try avoiding such baby wipes on Shabbat. If I'm not mistaken, Huggies are attached to each other. Every three or two are attached to each other. Couldn't work it out. But something like that. So you have to make sure that those are. But generally, the baby wipes seem to be not attached to each other. If they are, be careful. Yeah. Now, up to now we've been discussing materials which absorb. There are certain types of materials which absorb less than regular materials. For example, leather garments. I don't know whether you're familiar with leather garments, but if you do come across leather garments, yeah, then you have to know that it's more lenient than regular garments. Meaning that by a garment made from leather, if it's got a bit of dirt on it, you're allowed to soak it with water. However, you're not allowed to rub side on side, you're not allowed to rub it. That process of rubbing you can't do even with leather. And I'll explain why. There are 3 degrees to materials. There's a regular material, which absorbs a lot, that's our materials which we wear. There's the leather, which eventually the water will penetrate and get absorbed. It's still not like plastic, yeah? It's not like plastic. So therefore that, you're allowed to soak it with water, but you're not allowed to brush them and clean in such a way. So if a person has a dirt on a leather garment, even on a leather armchair, there's no problem of wetting the leather armchair, of wiping it. Just, I'm jumping back. To clean your garments with baby wipes is asur, because baby wipe is wet. And again, you're using an intermediate for liquid to clean your garments. So those people who you see them using baby wipes on Shabbat to clean stains of a suit or of a thing they're wearing, they should know that they're wearing suit d'oraita. You have to warn them. Even though the baby wipe is moist only, but that moisture is a liquid. Yeah? So there's no problem of squeezing, but now you're cleaning another garment with that moisture, and that's called melaben. So therefore, that's asur. But if you've got on the couch, which is made from leather, you've got a stain, you're allowed to take your baby wipe and clean it, because although leather, yeah, there's an issue of rubbing side on side, but if it's just to pour some water on top of it to clean the stain, there's not an issue to do that on Shabbat.
Surely for Onik Shabbos, we should feel like we're mensch, kalach, or whatever the word is. And if we have like a dirty suit, or the husband is, I know the halacha. I'm just saying, like, it bothers you. It bothers that, you know, you're going to the house and you suddenly spill all the kids' chocolate has gone on you. It just feels like.
Yeah.
You want to feel like a mensch a little bit.
So you don't want me to bend the rules.
I'm just saying, surely.
I tell you what, this is generally, since we're learning a Chol Shabbat, it's good to strengthen ourselves in this idea. Maybe this is more for the husbands to know. That Hotzaot Shabbat La'olam Chozrot. Yeah? The expenditure and the expenses which come out on Shabbat, according to some of the Ritva, even other mitzvot, they always come back. When I say they come back with interest. Yeah? So if sometimes you left the light on and you forgot to set the time switch and it's on all night, don't let it bother you. This is paid for. Forget it. If it means to buy an extra suit for Shabbat, then you should have a spare one just in case it was another suit, this also will come back because you're doing it lichvot Shabbat. If you're doing lichvot Shabbat, you'll get that the expenses will come back. Yeah? Now, there's no way to allow a person to clean anything on Shabbat with an intermediate liquid.
Oh, no, I don't. I'm just saying, but sometimes I feel like the Yetzer Hara is so great there.
That's what I said.
I just put it on and it's irritating. And
I know, that's why I said, Libun is one of the melachot, which is, it's an instinct. A person cannot stand, it's bemet. The Rambam says you shouldn't walk around with revav bevido, with a stain on your garments. To be very careful not to have dirt on your garments. But that's why I said it's an instinct that the person straight away licks his finger or cleans it in a way, in a fashion with asur. And that's why you have to be extra cautious in this melacha of melechet melaben. And so the person is a chacham enough beroshah, and you have to have spare shirts, spare garments, spare this, and know the halachot, how you're allowed to do it in a permissible way. There could be permissible fashions of getting rid of the stain. Now, I didn't speak about something which troubled me for years, this thing, but I didn't see any loopholes, any leniencies to use it. You know, sometimes when there's a stain, people tend to pour talc, powder on those stains. Now, although powder is not a liquid, but it's regarded like, it's chomer, it's a material which cleans a garment. So, I found it very difficult to say this, but I've seen it written that they treat this like cleansing a garment, like proper cleansing of garments. So therefore, a person should not pour powder onto any stain on Shabbat, whether it's an oil stain or not. Yeah? Should not pour. I'm not saying I'm fully understanding the reason, but that's the halakha. Yeah? That's the halakha, and I've seen it bring it in Rabbi Zion, Abba Shaul brings it, and many other poskim, right? Not to pour this talc. Although you can argue and say it's not a liquid. What? Salt, anything which there's an action of helping you eliminate the stain or getting rid of the stain, you should not use that intermediate on Shabbat to clean it. Okay?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Just to make sure that I understood it. So if I take 10 baby wipes, you said that it's moisture, not wet, very wet.
Yeah.
And no problem to clean the table if I have
to. No problem.
No problem. Another question. So it's no problem as well to clean the sofa, leather sofa?
Nah, leather sofa. Yeah, so leather sofa, we said you can wet it. Yeah? If you need to clean the leather sofa, is not a problem to clean with the baby wipe.
Not
Not a problem to give me a bring up. There's an extra leniency. I gave a leather sofa because you're not familiar with leather garments. A garment, the issue is rubbing the leather side and side to rub it like that, yeah? But a sofa is even better because it's turned into a utensil, more of a keli. It's a chair now. It's the leather is not a material which you can bend and make it into this. So therefore, you'll be allowed to take a baby wipe and wipe the stains on the sofa, yeah? Right. Yeah.
Isn't there an issue of if a stain doesn't bother you, you can clean it, and if the stain bothers you...
No, that's with dust, without water.
Right.
This is without water, which we'll speak about it in a minute, yeah? We'll speak about that. Now, this is... Now, the third material, which I was going to speak about, and this is down to an argument, I tend to be lenient in it, is plastic. It's not leather. There's plastic tablecloths. I don't know why people would wash it. You got a plastic tablecloth which you have in your kitchen or the disposable ones. That never absorbs any liquid. That's a material which, although it's soft and you can bend side and side and rub it. So many were stringent, but Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul, says something very... He says, since this type of material never absorbs, so it's not similar to garments at all, so therefore you can rub it, and you can clean it properly, since it never absorbs at all. Now, if you've heard otherwise about this halakha, regarding this halakha, then follow what you've heard until now. I'm just giving you the halakha of Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul. He allows to clean a plastic tablecloth side on side properly, because the plastic never absorbs liquid, so it's not similar to leather, and it's not similar to regular garments. Now, there's a halakha which is relevant to this last debate, is when you clean dirt, wherever it is, then we said you can use a towel, providing it won't get so wet. But you should not use a type of garment to clean a stain or to clean some dirt on the table, on the floor, with a garment which you're particularly to keep clean. Because if you will do that, our rabbis were concerned you might come to wash the garment on Shabbat after you've cleaned whatever you clean. So try using towels or anything which you're not particular if they remain dirty for however long until you clean them. Yeah. We'll jump on to speaking about cleaning dust without an intermediate, cleaning garments without an intermediate of water. Now, according to many opinions, if a person gets most of our clothes really look new, yeah? If a person gets himself dusty with dust or dirt on the top of what he's wearing, then he should, if it's very dirty that you wouldn't wear it with that dirt, then you're particular on it. In such a garment, and it's quite new, looks new, you should avoid cleaning the garment completely. However, if we talk about a garment which has been used, it's not new, and you're not so particular, then you're allowed to brush off the dust. The reason for this is you're not using an intermediate of water, and although we are stringent when it's new, since in a case where it's not new, we will be lenient to dust off the garment in a way where you do it kilachayad, meaning not directly brushing, and you'll rub it with something else, rub it with your arm or something. Don't do it in the normal way. Since this whole stringency, not on a new garment, it's only rabbinical, we are allowed to do it, mishum kvod abriot, it's not nice to walk around with dust on your clothes, you'll be allowed to do it in a not normal fashion, not normal way, you're allowed to get rid of that dust. So what would be regarded as not a normal way, that each person, the way normally, usually you dust it off like that, with your hands. Avoid doing that, take another part of the garment and brush off whatever dust is on the garment. Now, another halacha, if a person has dirt which is stuck onto his clothes, then he should also not get rid of that dirt. Obviously, if it's on the surface of his clothes, it's stuck, you can just take it off. I'm thinking of something which has penetrated part of his garment. So again, don't clean it in the normal way. And clean it in klechayad, what they call. In a side, around, how do you say, in, not in a normal way. Habashinui. Klechayad it's called, yeah? Not in the normal way.
Can you pick it off?
Yeah, no, but if you can pick off, then it's definitely allowed.
But if it's like in the garment, but like, can you pick it off?
There's not a problem. There's not a problem. We don't. There are stringent opinions. We don't. We know about. If it's just a thing which you can just pick out of, it's not. It's not an act of rubbing garment on top of a garment and cleaning it properly, yeah, or doing it with your hand properly. So if you just pick off whatever thorns or anything which is stuck onto your garments, you'll have to pick them out.
What if it's something like this and it will pick the fabric from?
Now, picking fabric is a different issue. It's maybe. It wouldn't be called melechet kriya, but I wouldn't do that because it would be tikkun of the beged, perhaps, because you're fixing the garments in. So I would avoid picking up those fluffy things from the garment on Shabbat. Any questions on the? Yeah.
Sorry, what you just said before regarding like cleaning, if dirt's stuck on, like if let's say you've got something on your shirt or whatever, can you take a dry napkin or something and take it off?
A dry napkin, yeah.
And also, don't understand when you said if you're particular about something.
Yeah, if you're particular, you see, the thing is, the halakha says they are. We take a precaution, really. And we follow a stringent opinion which holds that even without using an intermediate liquid, if a garment is new, beged chadash, then we don't even brush off the dust from it, because it says, amena'er talito, and some say, someone who shakes his garment, which is new, from dust, is asur. So although halakha is not like him, but it's good to be stringent like him, so therefore we differentiate between the new, because his stringency is only by new, and therefore anything which is not new, so how do we define something new? We say if you're very particular not to wear it to this day, then that's defined as new.
But don't you like on a new, surely on an old garment, you're like, surely like if I got a new dress, that's the one I like want to dust off. I don't see where he comes a... Do you know what I mean?
That also be regarded as new?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? I said again, since it's only a chumrah, it's only tov lachush dvarav, so therefore we'll only in brand new garments. Garments which have been used a few times and all that. To understand the background of this halakha, we'll have to spend a lot of time on it. I'm just giving you the basics, what it says. So therefore, if the garment is not new, you can clean it off, you can brush it off in a roundabout way, not in the normal fashion, yeah? Okay, that's as far as cleaning the dust. Okay?